ended up having a meeting, a committee meeting yesterday. We were missing you, but we understood that there are other committees that are attending, so we had to apologize to those who were here that you are not here because of other commitments. But welcome today. We're happy that you're back, and it's our day. We're supposed to start at 5:30, but we're starting a little bit later than 5:30, but apparently have got the whole day, but I don't think we'll carry on the whole day because the minds get tired. So we'll try and get until 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock we must be out of this place. Members, today we are meeting the Department of Health. I seem to understand that it's our core business. This is the area that we want to transform. This is the area that we want to make laws that are going to transform the health system. And this is the area that they always come to us for money. Today we're talking to them. They are going to be telling us what have they done with the money that we gave them in the previous year. I always try and run away from these things of 12, 13, 14, 15, because they always confuse me. I'm very old to understand those things. So it's only Ian who understands those terms very well. The 13, 14, the 15, 16, and all. So they are going to tell us what they did with the money that we gave them last year. Having told us what they did with the money, they want another money for this year so that they can carry on with the job that they're doing. So obviously, after them telling us and telling us how much money do they want, we will interrogate them. Obviously, we'll interrogate them with what they've done and even interrogate them with what they say they want to do. Yesterday, we saw some of the organizations that fall under them. They gave us a lot of things that would make them do better. And they actually report to the Department of Health. So some of those things are going to be featured, Department of Health. The people that we saw about 3 weeks ago was the Council of Medical Aid Schemes. Fortunately, they seem to be having money that comes from the members through the medical aid schemes themselves. But they always want to have a rise in what they're doing because of inflation and other things. We're hoping that those things are going on well, and they're doing so well because they've got an unqualified audit report. But we don't know whether they've got a clean audit because it doesn't talk about service delivery. So we've got MRC, who even themselves, as far as the Auditor General, they've given them a clean report. But they seem to be having a lot of challenges. I think one challenge that we have noticed as an oversight committee is that for us to be able to transform this country, which we are as the Portfolio Committee for Health, one of the three legs that are running the country, being the judiciary, the cabinet, and the parliament. We don't think we've got enough interaction with MRC. The reason why we think MRC is important is because if we're talking about evidence-based transformation or doing things according to the evidence, we should be working more with MRC as parliament, so that whatever policies or laws that we make are informed by what's happening in South Africa. And I don't think we've been having, whether it's our mistake as parliament or it's their mistake, but I think it's more on our side. Fortunately, and on a good note, they seem to be having a good interaction with your department. Whether that is by default because they come to you because they want money, so they end up coming to you time and again. But they seem to be having. But what we requested them that we should have formal interactions quite often, frequently, so that when we make laws, they are informed. We don't just wake up and say, no, we need to do this type of thing. Otherwise, we'll never plan for South Africa. Neither would we be able to transform it. But some of the areas where they complained, the things that they came up, was that the money that they're getting, is not enough. I think we have talked about this thing quite often, and one thing that becomes a problem is that the one who gives you more money is the one that you report to. Now, if they don't get money from South Africa and they get donations from somewhere, they'll tend to report to those that give them more money. So it's something that we need to consider, but it mustn't be a willy-nilly. They must tell us why, and they must tell us what they are doing with the money. But one thing that I think is very good with scientists is that scientists are not corrupt. They're always interested in their work. For them, it's about doing their work and getting it done. And fortunately, there's no tenderpreneurs there. They just do their work, and that's somebody would correct me if I'm wrong. I've never heard scientists toy-toying. I've never heard them toy-toying, but maybe somebody would correct me and say, no, they do toy-toy. But they're always interested in their work. They don't care what's happening. They are just like doctors. The doctor will fight with you if the patient is not going to wake up. They're not bothered about the money. It's the administrator that would ask to pay this account and so on. But the doctor would say, if my patient is well, that's okay. I'm hoping all the doctors are like that, including me. So that is the situation. The last one is NHLS. I think we do have challenges with NHLS, which we are sure that with the fact that there's a word problem, there is a solution. It's only that you need to just stand at a certain position and look back and see whether there's another door that I can get out. I think there are doors that would be able to open up and will correct those things. And we had the report as to what's happening. And of course, there are 4% that they want, which is so cumbersome. It goes from one area to the other until the Ministry of Finance ends up signing. But I think all those things would actually help us. And they're quite important because most of the Department of Health is Department of Health because of doctors and nurses, or let me say of health workers. But we do need human resource people and financial people like Ian to help and make those professionals do their work properly. So, and those health professionals, they need some other things that are going to assist them to do their work. And one of them is NHLS. So they are very important. So we need to make sure that we handle them well. Now we are meeting you today. We are going to give you a chance. Members, I'm sure on this day we are going to be listening and you'll interrogate them. I'm not sure what time we'll have tea. We might not even have tea, depending how interesting the meeting is. But let's introduce ourselves and allow the department to carry on. We've got an apology from the department by the DG that she's not around. She's gone to Bangkok. We're hoping that there's not going to be a tsunami there while she's there. It would be very bad if there could be a tsunami in Bangkok. So we're hoping that she comes back in still okay. Apparently the department is led by Dr. Pile. So welcome, Dr. Pile. I see there's a lady next to you who's got the sausage lady. This other side on your left. She likes sausages. But what I'm not sure, she liked sausages before there was donkey meat. I'm not sure whether those sausages have donkey meat there. And I see Nobayeni, Dr. Bilay is stealing from everywhere. Yesterday we talked about HST coming here. Now I see HST they've stolen somebody. And I know why you stole it, because she's got a cap in her teeth. That's why you stole it. But don't steal me. I'm not going to agree. Members, welcome. Can we introduce ourselves? So we'll start with Umanov.
Morning, I'm Beatrice Ngobo. Thank you. Morning. Before I tell the House Who am I? I would like to know how that the chairperson knows about the sausages, because the sausages is the breakfast thing. My name is Morosi Tsegaledisa.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Denise Robinson. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, members. My name is Laketo from Mafeking. I'm Mama Setanya. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hilda Sizagele Msweli, the member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We've got, I don't know whether to respond to Mresi. let me not respond. You are silly, but it was nice that she was not here yesterday. Now she's here, she's starting with all this. We've got other ladies, Uvyogas with the secretariat. Another young lady who just started with the content advisor. She's silly because she says I'm old. I don't know where she tested me. She says I'm old. We've got our researcher Uzu there sitting on the other side in that corner. So that is the team. Dr. Pile, over to you.
Chair, thank you very much, and good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. I'll ask each of the members of the team to introduce themselves, starting with Ms. Hunter.
Good morning, Chair and Members. I'm Jeanette Hunter. I started on 1 February this year as the Deputy Director General for Primary Health Care in the National Department of Health.
I'm Tari Matsau, the head of the International Relations in Health in the department. I'm reminded that I'm also acting for a DDG who's still not been appointed in another branch. It's hospital services and health.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Novayeni Laza. I'm the Chief Operating Officer in the National Department of Health.
Good morning. My name is Ian van der Merwe. I'm the CFO at National Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Tiny Reddy. I'm the Head of Corporate Services at Department of Health, and I'm also the Administrator of Limpopo.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Joe Khatla, Parliamentary Officer.
Good morning. My name is Mr. Tim Shwana, Director for Public Entities Governance.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Moremi Nkosi. I'm Acting Deputy Director, General Health Regulations and Compliance Management, but I also work on NHI at the National Department of Health.
I'm Melanie Wolmerant, and I'm from Policy Coordination and Integrated Planning at the National Department of Health.
Sure, that's the team, and when I'm not acting, which is only this week, I'm the Deputy Director General for the programs HIV, TB, and Maternal and Child Health.
You've given us wrong information. Utaini doesn't belong here. Utaini belongs to Limpopo. Why is he here?
Well, a full-time job actually is in the department. A part-time job is in Limpopo. But the way it's turning out, it seems like the other way around. So you're right, Jess. It spends a lot of time in Limpopo.
Okay.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, you requested that we do two things. One is to tell you how we spent the money last year, that was voted by Parliament last year, and to look at what's going to happen in the new financial year. Now, the way in which the performance plan is written, that we use the 12-13 as the baseline year and then look at what's happening in 13-14 onwards. So that's how we will do the presentation, because that's how the document is written. With respect to exactly what happened in the last financial year, that will be in the annual report, which we will come back to this committee with a full explanation and then a further interrogation of how we use the money. So I'll hand over to the COO to make the presentation with your permission. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. We are presenting our annual
performance plan, as Dr. Pillay has indicated, we'll use the previous financial year as our baseline, and we'll also focus on the budget for 2013-14, 2015-16, and the budget will be presented by the CFO. Our presentation will focus on three areas. We'll provide a strategic context. We will then look at the key areas of focus for 2013-14, as published in the APP. We then look at the budget for the period, for the MTF, and the CFO, as I indicated, will present that. Members, as you know, our vision is a long and healthy life for all South Africans. And our mission is to improve health status through the prevention of illnesses and the promotion of healthy lifestyle, and to consistently improve the healthcare delivery system by focusing on access, equity, efficiency, quality, and sustainability. We derive our priorities from four key areas: the 10-point plan for 2009 to 2014, the government's outcome-based approach to service delivery. As you know, the health sector is responsible for the achievement of outcome two, which is a long and healthy life for all South Africans. And it has four outputs. One output is increasing life expectancy. The second is decreasing maternal and child mortality. And the third is combating HIV, AIDS, and also to decrease the burden of disease from tuberculosis. And output four is strengthening health systems effectiveness. The third point is looking at the commitments for the Millennium Development Goals, which globally we all made, which is from the period 2000 to 2015. And we are also looking at the health goals from the National Development Plan 2030, as our government adopted that last year. In this slide, we have actually done work to look at alignment between the National Development Plan, the NSDA, the 10-point plan, and the MDGs. And we find ourselves in a place of comfort in that the NSDA 10-point plan and the MDGs are well aligned to the NDP. So what this means is that short to medium term, we are on track in terms of implementing programs and also strengthening health systems to ensure that we continuously improve health outcomes. What we need to apply our minds to is beginning to look at the long-term planning for the NDP. And given this framework, we feel that we will be starting in terms of the next cycle of planning to ensure that we begin to project more long-term. But when we developed our APP, we started using also targets that are coming out of the NDP. This slide actually simply takes the first part, which is the goal of improving life expectancy, and looking at the programs that we are implementing that actually impacts on improving life expectancy. As the chair indicated earlier on, yesterday we had the MRC, and they shared with the portfolio committee some of the successes that came from the work that they had done. And I would like at this point to simply just take time to recap what the MRC shared with the committee yesterday. The evidence from the Rapid Mortality Surveillance Report 2011, which was conducted by the MRC, indicated the following: that the overall life expectancy of South Africans had increased from 56.5 years in 2009 to 60 years in 2011. The NSDA target for 2014 was 58.5 years. So it means that we've already exceeded the target as indicated. They further indicated, shared with the committee, results on maternal and child mortality. Again, this will come from the Rapid Mortality Surveillance Report of 2011. The under 5 mortality rate has decreased from 56 deaths per 1,000 life births in 2009 to 42 deaths per 1,000 life births in 2011. The NSDA target for 2014 was 50 deaths per 1,000 live births. In terms of infant mortality rate, the report indicated that there has been a decrease from 40 deaths per 1,000 live births in 2009 to 30 deaths per 1,000 live births in 2011. The NSDA target for 2014 was 36 deaths per 1,000 live births. In terms of neonatal mortality rate, this has remained stable at 14 deaths per 1,000 live births between 2009 and 2011. And the NSDA target for 2014 is 12 deaths per 1,000 live births. The report has indicated a relatively slower progress towards reducing maternal mortality ratios. And I think Dr. Pillay will be in a position at a later stage to share some information in terms of the initiatives that we've actually engaged in, such as KAMA around this. Going back into our presentation, as we look at the number of strategies that we've adopted and are actually implementing to improve life expectancy, we are looking at expansion of the ARV coverage. We are reducing new HIV infections. We reduce the burden of TB, reduce maternal mortality, and we are looking at reducing infant, child, and youth morbidity and mortality, and also to improve collaboration and reduce the burden of communicable and non-communicable diseases. Our second slide, this slide is actually indicating an area where the minister has also highlighted that it's an area where we need to actually place a lot of emphasis on, which is improving the health system's effectiveness. In this area, we are focusing on a number of key strategies and interventions to improve the quality of health services, re-engineering of primary health care, ensuring functional district health systems, and the preparation for the implementation of the NHI, improve health workforce planning, management, and development, efficient management of health technology, and accelerate delivery of health infrastructure. We are getting more into the detail around the programmatic interventions and also the targets that have been agreed on. Key interventions, this is not the entire list. We've simply highlighted some of the key interventions that we are implementing. To conduct at least 600,000 medical male circumcisions during 2013-14, and this will increase to 1 million during 2015-16, and test at least 98% of all TB patients for HIV by 2015-16, and increase contraceptive prevalence from 32.5% during 2011-12 to at least 38% during 2015-16, and expand the PMTCT program for pregnant women. We are looking at initiating at least 500,000 new patients on ARVs per annum, and also to initiate at least 85% of all TB and HIV co-infected patients on antiretrovirals, with up to 97% by 2015-16. In expanding the PMTCT program for HIV-positive pregnant women, we are looking at increasing HIV-positive women initiated on antiretrovirals from 80.4% in 2011-12 to at least 97% in 2015-16, and to reduce the proportion of HIV-positive babies born to HIV-positive mothers from 4% in 2011-12 to at least 2% by 2015-16. in the reduction of maternal mortality, which remains a major area where we would like to actually place emphasis given the slow progress that we have noted. But we also know that there are a number of interventions that we've actually put in place that we think will actually place us in a position where we'll begin to see better outcomes. Proposed key interventions include the increase of proportion of antenatal clients attending health facility before 20 weeks from 40.2% in 2011-12 to at least 68% in 2015-16. Increase the proportion of deliveries taking place in health facilities under the supervision of a trained personnel in a public health facility from 89.3% in 2011-12 to at least 97% in 2015-16. And increase the percentage of mothers and babies who receive postnatal care within 6 days of delivery from 56.9% in 2011-12 to at least 84% in 2015-16. In reducing infantile youth morbidity and mortality, key interventions proposed include the following. To maintain the percentage of children fully immunized under 1 year of age at minimum 90% throughout the MTF period, and maintain measles immunization coverage of 90% throughout the MTF period. Third, to expand the implementation of the integrated school health programs, of the school health program. As the members would recall, this program was launched by the president last year. 70% of quintile 1 and 2 schools to benefit from the integrated school health program during 2013-14, with up to 95% schools benefiting during 2015-16. 9,666 schools translated to 297,000 grade 1 learners and 80,200 grade 8 learners benefiting from the integrated school health program during 2013-14. And to reduce the burden of tuberculosis, some of the key interventions would include the increase of TB cure rate from 73.1% in 2011-12 to the WHO target of 85% by 2015. Reduce TB treatment defaulter rate from 6.8% in 2011-12 to less than 5% by 2015-16. And third, to reduce the turnaround time of TB test results by increasing the number of tests conducted by GeneXpect, estimated at 800 tests to be conducted using the GeneXpect during 2013-14, increasing this to 1 million by 2015-16. And improving collaboration between HIV and between TB and HIV programs, with the aim of reducing co-infection burden. Key interventions proposed include to increase the percentage of TB patients tested for HIV from 8.9% in 2011-12 to at least 98% in 2015-16, and to increase the number of HIV-positive patients that receive IPT from 360,000 patients in 2011-12 to at least 525,000 in 2015-16. We are now looking at strategies to strengthen management of non-communicable diseases. Interventions that are proposed are to conduct public education campaign on salt reduction in line with published guidelines, expanding the chronic care model to 15 districts by 2015-16, revision to the regulations of warning labels on alcohol products, development and implement the health promotion strategy, develop regulations for graphic health warnings on tobacco products, establishment of the National Health Commission to develop and implement an intersectoral collaboration for the prevention of non-communicable diseases. Looking at reduction of the burden of disease from communicable diseases, key interventions would include establish a national public health institute to reform and strengthen the capacity of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases over the NTF. Two, to improve access to cataract surgery to at least 1,500 operations per million population in all 9 provinces. Three, to increase the cervical cancer screening coverage from 55% in 2011-12 to at least 60% by 2015-16. And to decrease the incidence of malaria from 0.58 cases per 1,000 population in 2011-12 to at least 0.45 per 1,000 population at risk in 2014-15, in keeping with the target to eliminate malaria by 2018. Improve quality of health services. Members have engaged with the department on this issue at length during the course of 2012 and also towards the end of 2012, beginning of 2013. Key interventions include improve the complaint resolution by ensuring that at least 85% of all resolved complaints have a turnaround time within 25 days. Develop and implement standardized protocol for conducting patient satisfaction surveys. And to increase the number of districts supported by the facility improvement teams to 20, to ensure gap assessment or self-assessment that they are conducted at all health facilities by 2015-16. And also to have a fully established Office of Health Standards Compliance by 2015-16. Another key area where the department has worked hard and also engaged with members in the committee on is the engineering of primary health care. And key interventions include the increase in number of municipal ward-based primary health care teams to 750 in 2013-14. To 1,000 in 2011-15 and 1,500 in 2015-16. Improve access to primary health care services with an increased utilization rate of at least 3 visits by 2015-16. And to expand the number of districts with a full complement of members of the district clinical specialist team to at least 20 districts in 2013-14. Up to 25 during 2015-16. To improve access and quality of primary healthcare supervision, focusing on 2 areas, develop and implement a manual for capacity building for primary healthcare supervisors and facility managers, and 2, increase the monthly supervisor visit rate from 66.6% in 2011-12 to at least 85% in 2015-16. And the school health program, we've already shared information on that. To improve health workforce planning, management, and development, another critical area that we've also focused on in the last financial year. Key interventions include development and implementation of norms and standards for the health workforce planning. We are currently piloting development of norms and standards
for workforce planning, and we hope that we'll be moving into the implementation phase in regard to this. Increase the number of medical students registered at South African universities by at least 10% every year over the MTF, and this will increase the number of new students from 1,800 in 2012-13 to at least 2,395 in 2015-16. To also increase the number of hospital managers trained by the Academy for Leadership and Management in Health, which was an academy that the Minister of Health launched last year in October. In 2013-14, we would have additional 105 managers going through the program, and there will be a progression of an estimated 100 in 2014-15 and also in 2015-16. 102 CEOs of hospitals were recently recruited, and in February, 89 of them went through the training program. So the numbers will actually increase throughout the MTF period. We also are working towards functional district health system, and key interventions include develop and implement an intersectoral framework for addressing the social determinants of health. A district quarterly review guideline will be developed during 2013-14 to institutionalize the district quarterly reviews, strengthen the disease outbreak response by establishing trained disease outbreak teams in 20 districts by 2013-14. This intervention will be implemented in all 52 districts by 2015-16 financial year. And to revise the district health system, the revised district health system strategy will also include the district health authority. And we are now looking at preparation for the implementation of the National Health Insurance. Key interventions would include preparation of the legal framework for the establishment of the NHI 2013 white paper will be finalized and also gazetted. And in 2014-15, the National Health Insurance Bill tabled to Parliament. Apology with that Parliament, it's a capital P. 2015-16, implementation of regulations. And we are also looking to develop a conceptual framework for the creation of the NHI fund in 2013-14, with the first phase of implementation in 2014-15. We also are working towards increasing the revenue collection in central hospitals. 4 in 2013-14, 7 in 2014-15, and 10 in 2015-16. Contracting of GPs and other health providers. In 2013-14, the aim is to have 600 GPs contracted to work in 533 clinics in the NHI pilot district. The efficient management of healthcare technology. Key interventions include the implementation of the health technology strategy, which has already been developed, to publish the essential equipment list for all levels of care in 2013-14. We already have a draft that has gone through the National Health Council. To finalize the standards for use and maintenance of healthcare technology. Accelerate the delivery of health infrastructure. Key interventions include accelerate the delivery of health infrastructure through the following key activities during 2013-14. The request for proposal, procure and sign agreement for the Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital. Request for quotation and request for proposal for Limpopo Academic Hospital. Completed feasibility studies for George Mukhari, Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital, and King Edward Project.
procure transactional services for Mpumalanga Tertiary and Tigerberg Hospital projects. 5 of the 7 planned tertiary hospitals, Nelson Mandela Academic, Chris Hani Baragwanath, George Mukhari, Limpopo Academic, King Edward, would have commenced with construction by 2015-16. At this point, I'll hand over to the CFO to take us through the budget.
Thank you, Jay. I'll just present the current budget or the budget for the MTF period. But before I do that, just to make some introductory comments. Firstly, is that this was quite a difficult fiscal period in terms of budgeting. We were initially instructed to have savings or reprioritizations and cuts of budgets of 1%, 2%, and 3% over the MTF. 1% in the first year, 2% in the second, and 3% in the last year. So we have defended this thing with the National Treasury, and we agreed eventually that for the sector, that those cuts would not be applicable to the sector, but that we had to go back and reprioritize within the allocations, both at national and provincial level. So we did that. We were also subjected to certain cuts on conditional grants that were not performing in terms of expenditure. And to that effect, we've also done a relook at the conditional grant frameworks, and I will explain to you what we've done in terms of creating a new health grant for infrastructure and NHI. So those were the sort of environment that we had this financial year, and this is the context for presenting this budget in. Just as an introduction, in terms of our programs, we still have this is 6 programs. Our adjustment budget in 12-13 amounted to 28 billion from an initial baseline of about 27 billion, and this has grown to 36 billion over the period. Significant changes in terms of programs will be seen more when you look at the economic classifications in terms of the breakdown. You will see that we've had a considerable increase in the payment of capital assets budget. And this is mainly the reason for this is mainly as a result of the health grant that is now being retained, a portion of it by the National Department of Health. And I'll give you the breakdown in a further slide. So the biggest move in terms of economic classification was on capital assets. You can see the amount from an adjusted budget of 36 million has jumped to 826 million in 13-14. 1.6 billion in 14-15 and 1.6 again in 15-16. And as I said, this is a result of the new health grant that is now being allocated directly to national and not to provinces. Just as looking at the expenditure trends, you will see that over the latter part of the MTA from 19 till 12-13, our baseline grew from 19.2 to 27.9 at the rate of 13.3%. And this is significant if you compare it to the future MTF period, where our annual growth rate is unexpected to be 9.4%. So we've already discounted some of the expected reductions by Treasury in our growth rate going forward for the new MTF. The increase, and Chair, let me say that, remember this is movements on baselines, right? There obviously were increases in budgets over the period, which was largely driven by transfers to provinces. As you know, that takes up the bulk of our budget amount for conditional grants. And there was also some increase in the HIV/AIDS grant, especially in the outer year, in the 15-16 year, and the introduction of the new NHI grant. Just some highlights in terms of the allocations for the MTF. We've got an additional allocation of about 800 million rand in the 15-16 financial year for the scale-up of the provisions of the ARVs, antiretroviral treatments. There's also 100 million and 384 million in this MTF to offset the expected reduction in the PEPFAR funding, as we also discussed yesterday. And Dr. Pillay will tell us that this amount is likely to decrease by about 50% over the next 5 years. So it means that our government has to step in and sort of fund the gap in terms of the expected shortfall on this funding. The MRC is receiving an additional 150 million over the period. And Chair, when I presented yesterday, I was looking at the numbers, and it suggests that on average their budget will grow by about 27%, or the portion that we're going to transfer to them grows on average about 27.5% over the period. So, admittedly, we're also trying to offset or match at least the Gates Foundation contributions. But in terms of growth, you will see that we're growing from about 296 million MRC to about 416 this year and 426 million going forward. Also, the transfer to the NHLS and especially the National Institute of Communicable Diseases was increased by 15.31 and 31 over the MTF, and again it was to address the decrease in the PEPFAR funding. As I said, we did some reprioritization, Chair, within the existing budget, but we were able to channel most of those reprioritizations back into the department, specifically when it comes to the infrastructure unit support program, as well as the PMSU functions. And we've got partnerships with the CSIR and the DBSA on this program, which we're rolling out significantly to the provinces this financial year as well. The National AIDS Council will receive 15 million. In the past, we've had them as part of our program, but as soon as the trust is going to be established, we will be in a position to transfer funds out to them. They've got their own governance structures in place now, and they will report separately in terms of annual reporting, etc., and we will fund them as part of a transfer payment to the AIDS Council. The improvement of conditions of service, we've received some funding, although not enough in terms of our projections over the MTF period, but we understand that we'll have to cut the cloth and obviously do some belt tightening on this aspect. So the amounts are 22, 28 and 41 million over the period, and if I'm not mistaken, this also includes the ICS conditions of service improvements also for the MRC that we saw yesterday. There is a 6 million rand grant share that is going to come into the National Department of Health in this current financial year, 13-14, which is to do with the emergency medical services for the, I think they call it Champions Africa Nations Cup, something like that. So that's going to come in. It's a grant that will not be transferred to provinces and will be administered nationally. And we've also, as I said, done some further improvisation over the MTF on non-core goods and services items, especially like the travelling, the catering, all of that. We've tried to reduce it and reprioritize. See, essentially, there was a reduction over the MTF, as I said to you, of about 531 million, mainly on our infrastructure grant that we're not showing the expenditure as expected, and also some reduction on the NHI grant due to slow expenditure. But we're confident that with the current new system that we're putting in place in terms of upping expenditure both on infrastructure grants and on NHI, we'd be in a position to negotiate some return of those funds over the MTF. So those reductions are 531 million, although it wasn't on our own baseline, it was basically on conditional grants and on transfers, the transfer baselines over the period. Chair, the next slide talks about the three health infrastructure grants, and this is the major reform that we've had very late in the planning cycle. We had this reform come through and approved by both the Treasury as well as the the Treasury as well as the Health Minister. And that will be consolidated into a single grant called the Health Facility Revitalization Grant. But this grant will still remain or still retain the three windows of the Revitalization Grant, the Infrastructure Grant, and the Nursing Colleges Grant. And the reason for putting it into one grant was just the rationale of having three infrastructure grants. Didn't make sense. That's number one. And number two is we found that the DORA was very rigid in terms of the transfers that could be made to provinces and between provinces. So if one grant is underspending, you wouldn't be able to move that to another infrastructure grant because of the DORA requirements. And we feel that this new configuration will allow more flexibility in terms of the shifting of funds between provinces and between grants and between national and province. So the spending, although the baseline numbers have decreased, we still expect an increase of about 3.2, 5.8 and 6.5 billion over the MTF period. The portion that was allocated to the Facility Revive Grant is 14.9 over the MTF period with the breakdown per annum as indicated. This new grant, Jay, is going to be called a Schedule 6A grant, and it's called a National Health Grant. It's got two components which will reside at National Health, one for NHI and one for the Facility Revive Grant. So essentially, Jay, there will be a portion of this grant allocated to national and a portion allocated to provinces and will be transferred as such, and the same for the revitalization grant. The component of this national health grant, the component for infrastructure or for facilities will be 807 in the first year, 1.7 and 1.7 over the two outer years. And if you link this to my first or second slide, you will see the jump in terms of capital expenditure at national is contained within this allocation. Chair, this next table just indicates exactly the breakdown of your grant framework, and let me just concentrate on the 13-14 year if you allow me. You will see the first one is the 6 million for the African Nations Championship grant. The second one is about a billion, as I said, for the newly created Health Indirect Grant, which is now situated or established within National Department of Health, of which the NHI portion is 291 million and the infrastructure portion is 807 million. So, Chair, if you look at the DORA Schedule 6A, it will then break down the 807 million per province so that there's no argument to say the provinces, because they don't receive the money directly as a grant or a transfer, that they would not be able to participate in this grant. So there's a portion allocated to each province within these grants. The 291 million is going to be mainly for the contracting of the GPs as part of the NHI rollout. The tertiary service grant, 9.6 billion, the HIV grant, the 10.5, and you can see the significant growth to 15-16 of that to 13.9 billion. And as I said, it includes the 800 million for the ARVs. The Revive grant portion that goes to provinces is as indicated, the training grant at 2.1 billion, and because most of the funds for NHI grant now resides with national, there's a small portion that gets transferred out to the provinces against a business plan. So just to summarize the issue of the grants, and there's a small change to what you've got on your pack. I just made a correction in terms of the new DORA. The Schedule 4 grants now include the tertiary services grants as well as the HPTVG grants. Those are basically our Schedule 4 grants. The next slide will show what is now regarded as Schedule 5 grants, which includes the HIV grant, the insurance grant to provinces, and then the Facility Revive grant portion that goes to provinces as well. Chair, that in brief is the allocation in terms of budgets and conditional grants by National Health.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. In conclusion, we are presenting the APP 2013-14 for 2015-16 that reflects interventions to improve health systems and health outcomes for all South Africans. We remain committed to meeting the objectives of the health sector and also focusing on some of the critical areas of reforming the health systems in our country. We have seen progress over the last year in terms of interventions that we implement through our programs, in particular around child infant mortality and also increase in terms of life expectancy. We still have challenges around issues, and we need to put more effort around TB, our interventions on TB, maternal mortality. And we still need to do more work while we have put in place some interventions around strengthening health systems. So as we move forward, our focus is to improve infrastructure, improve the human resources for health, and also improve management capacity, including norms and standards for staffing, accountability in planning and in budgeting, as well as capacity and systems in financial management, and the overall health financing reform, and also reform of key strategic institutions, which we highlighted in our presentation. The department will continue to work towards improving health care equity, quality, and access through the introduction of the National Health Insurance and building a robust human resource capacity in the health sector to ensure that we realize our vision, our goal of improving quality of health and also improving living standards and conditions of all South Africans. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
I'm not sure whether Dr. Pillay, you want to say something?
I think we covered our presentation. We're now ready to answer the questions that the members have. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yogi. Thank you very much, Nomaye. Teenage lad. Thank you very much. You can see that I'm a soccer player. I used to play soccer. I'm not like Ian, who is the grand for soccer. I used to play soccer. Somebody is saying next to me. they don't believe me. Okay, thanks, Nomaye. Thanks very much, Ian. For your presentation and Novayen. Members, that is the presentation. Maybe let's just make a few comments before you ask your questions. I think we are very happy with some of the things that you have done. We've seen Auditor General being happy with your improvement. I think it comes after you came to the department from Limpopo here. We've seen a definite change. Maybe we need to take you back to Limpopo because there are still problems there. But I think Utani is trying to handle things. So there's still something that we got as we were oversighting the department. The Auditor General tells us about consultants in the department. I don't think the department has got a lot of consultants compared to other departments, but the main problem that came from the Auditor General is that it seems as if when you have got consultants, when they leave, there's no skill that they leave behind. They just come and work there and they leave. I think you don't have to answer, but it's some of the things that we have observed. One thing that we have observed is that there doesn't seem to be that good working relationship between public and private. And we definitely think that Department of Health is a Department of Health for everybody, be it private or be it public. That's where it's supposed to go. You know, I mentioned this yesterday to MRC, that there's this abuse of the vulnerable, the females and males. And I think somebody would need to convince me otherwise. I think that thing has got psychological and psychiatric problems. And if we don't concentrate on our mental health, probably there's going to be some problem. I'm not saying that people should not be jailed, but there should be some way of help being involved in when they get out of jail. Because I tend to think that some of them have got psychiatric problems. I think we've got a lot of psychopaths. We are underestimating. Well, a psychopath, as far as I'm concerned, is somebody who does things and don't look at consequences. I mean, you just kill somebody, it's like you're killing a fly. You don't feel what is going to happen to me after that. It's a psychopath. And probably it's related to our past. I don't know, which is something that... But for me, it's abnormal. In our society, it's abnormal, and it's something that we need to look at. I must say, well, on the 15 million on the National AIDS Council, we welcome that. In so much that there's a portfolio committee for AIDS that has been set up, which is going to be working directly with them. Probably you're not going to be involved, but I think it's very important. There's a little bit of what I was happy that there was somebody from America sitting here. The PEPFAR funding. Maybe we need to find some ways of handling that. Because it's not only impacting on South Africa only. It's impacting on even our next doors. Because they come and get ARVs in South Africa, which, because if you happen to do well on certain things, that's when you get to know new challenges. Now, you're going to find that most of our neighboring countries are going to come to South Africa. And if that PEPFAR, even if we're prepared ourselves to take over and make sure that we handle it, but those people that got used to coming to South Africa, I think you get a Mkwena in Free State, and you get the same Mkwena relative in Lesotho, and they come to South Africa. And it's the same thing in Mozambique and Mpumalanga. Even the language is the same, so they just cross the borders and they get treatment from this side. So it's going to be killing us. The Office of Standards, and it's something that probably we've delayed you as Parliament, but take it from me, I think it's just a matter of a day that we're left with one day, it will be over. It will just be waiting for President. So I just want to reassure you on that side that one, there's one thing that we need to correct and it will be over. It was very surprising when the Statistician General mentioned that the commonest cause of death is TB. And it goes beyond being TB. I mean, what it means for me is that TB is an infectious condition. And it tells me that there's still a gap between the rich and the poor. The fact that we are not able to contain TB, well, there are other things that are problematic as far as TB. The mining industry has got a contribution there. There are other things. But the fact that we seem not to be getting over it, it means we're not really... the gap is becoming wider and wider. We always talk about these funds that Ian tells us that you're going to 30 billion for this year. And most of these funds, they go to provinces. Sometimes, well, that is our problem. We don't seem to have a good way of communicating with the legislators in provinces so that they can monitor closely what's going on, because most of this money gets used there. And in fact, that's where work is done, and that's where some of the problem. But that is our problem, and it's something that I think, let me make an open invitation. Nobody talked about circumcision, that they want to increase it to 1 million. I'm inviting everybody. My son is going to be circumcising in December, but he refused to do a male medical circumcision. He wants to have a traditional circumcision. Probably the father is involved in allowing him to go that direction, but it will be done in a way. But I want to involve one to come and witness how it's done in Kosaland. The public. No, what's happening is that there's a time when there's circumcision, which is done secretly. But there's a ceremony, there's a big ceremony that goes on after that. That is the part that is an open invitation. The other part is not an open invitation. It will be done by me traditionally. But being a male, it's not a male-male circumcision. They refuse to go to that one. Most of them in the Eastern Cape, they refuse. But we make sure that it's done in a way that it has the impact that you want it to have. I'm not a traditional leader, neither a traditional surgeon. But it's an open invitation for those who could come. I'll give you a lot of meat. And then the kosa beer, everything that you want. Somebody was asking me, which is older, is it kosa beer or is it Coke? I really don't know. Coke is one of the oldest drinks, but I'm not sure whether it's older than kosa beer. But members, that is the presentation that is coming from the division. That is the presentation that is coming. The main person that I'm inviting is Mumbwes. I'm inviting Mumbwes. They are the main person that I'm inviting. Oh. It's not for females. Okay. Okay. Members, that is the presentation. I'm looking at your hands. Okay. Oh, everybody is going to be asking. Okay, let's start with you, Mumbwes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks the department for the presentation. And like you are saying, in the presentation, we see improvement, a lot of improvement. But you have to bear in mind that some of us, we don't believe in presentation. We believe in actual. The improvement in your performance, I ask myself, is it visible when I get to Mam Nkaipa Clinic at the next to the Dirt Airport? Can I see it? With us, Setopuru Supanageti, I always say to the people, I didn't do mathematics. I did arithmetic. Because with arithmetic, there is a lot of technicalities I don't understand. I therefore, when I have heard here and I have seen and I'm impressed, will I be impressed when I'm in Sisobe next to Dirt Airport? That's my... We don't talk mathematic implementation of service delivery. We talk the real thing. Once again, we always complain in the Tepile about numbering your... At a certain stage, you remember page 2. Then you say, I will really be spoiling them. You left it. But I tried to make my own reduction of new HIV. You said bullet number 3, you increase contraceptive. I'm overwhelmed about that because I think when you give your performance, you'll be telling us the rate of top choice. C-top. Yeah, we will see the reduction when you increase the contraceptive prevalence. Then, re-engineering of primary health care. I've been taught by Ntate Pili. Unfortunately, when I was assistant director of community health care service, the deputy director of the Rustenburg and Moses Kota, that you do well in primary health care, you have solved the problem. Now, you are talking about increasing the municipal ward to 750 in 2013-2014. When you say you increase, it means there is something. One will really want to know in a breakdown, where are you? So that when I go to do my oversight, I should be like be knowing that in Bojanala or in KK region, Kenneth Kaunda, there is so much, and they will increase so much. I will want to have that breakdown. Functional district health system. Where are we? The principal of district health system. Where are we? The issue of devolution of power from where to where, from province to local government or provincialization. I'm saying this because in metros, you still have, when you go to the clinic, feel that I'm in a local municipal clinic. It doesn't like when there is a vast difference when I come from Pela or Mokwaset Health Center and come to Cape Town, a health center or one clinic, there is a vast difference. I was once in one of the Cape Town clinics where they were telling me that they don't do adult curative. I didn't even know what was that. In that clinic, they only do immunization and whatever. When the adult come, they refer to other clinic in Cape Town. And when I sit down and analyze, I could deduce that it's all the metros, most of the metros, they don't do what a person in Mohas Health Center is doing, comprehensive health system. I want to know, where are we in that Depile? Do you still remember that we sit down and do what you call devolution for days? Where are we? While I'm still feeling the provincial clinic, or the clinic falling under province and the clinic falling under municipality. We are way up 20 years, but we are still, can we? And even their remuneration to the nurses. Now, initially, the nurses were moving to local government. Now they are moving to provincial clinics because of OSD. We cannot. I cannot be told about adult curative. I'm an old nurse. I've never heard about that. But it's because I've never worked in the local municipality clinic. That is why I haven't heard about it. Okay. Let me jump to others. Chairperson, I think even us here, we have to be blamed. Do you know, I have good people whenever you talk about SANEC and pumping the money to SANEC. Because, like I have said initially, I want to see performance. I don't want to hear performance. Because you talk about this million to SANEC. How is the PCA perform? How is the DAC perform? How is the LAC performing? And as the department, you only told us, tell us about SANEC, but you never go down. And at the national level, I'm not in the provincial legislature. I won't know how is the PCA. Those offices, I want you to go to them. If ever you haven't gone to them. Because I don't know what they are doing. But that is why I said, Chairperson,
And I think even us will be to blame. We have never called SANEC here. Because at the end of the day, when we call you, we thought that you will tell us about them. Because we never called. They are not entities. They fall under you. But you only tell me. You have never, when you talked about performance, I haven't seen any single sentence talking about eight councils. I haven't seen it. I only see it when you talk about money. I cannot, like, be talking to you to have an increase, increment in your budget allocation and so that you must give FANEC, which I don't know what is performing. I really want this year, I really want us to go and or call it here. The last one, 10%, it is talking under what? In my pages, page 30, but it talks about the department reviewed the staff establishment in 2010-2011 in human resources. Now I remember that when I was the deputy director in Moses Kotane, there was evaluation done for the deputy directors in the sub-region. And I'm saying sub-region because they were called sub-region in North Oz. And I know that they are called something somewhere. And I've been fighting up, saying that, can't we have parity? There was one time when we do about parity. Do you still remember? When in 1994, we said that we want parity. And when we say parity, we wanted to, if I'm a deputy director in Moses Kotane for primary health care, I must be like the deputy director in primary health care in Gauteng. If ever do we have sub-region or sub-district in Gauteng. And I can tell you, they are not the same. And evaluation have been done for the CEOs of the hospital, but this evaluation of those in charge of primary health care, a district health system, they have been done, but nothing has been materialized. That is why a deputy director in charge of the sub-district will move to be a CEO in Moses Kotane Hospital because there is a discrepancy. Then I think I will stop there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. You're going to come, Honorable Robinson. But let's say if you, Umbres has mentioned something about SANEC very passionately. But I think she's right. The problem is not, it's with us. So if you want to answer it, you can answer it. But I think the problem, Murese, has been that the department has been running with HIV and AIDS programs. But they wanted something that was going to encompass everybody, not to be a departmental thing. So SANEC was formed, but they didn't have a way of transferring the money to them at SANEC. Otherwise, with all these corrupt tendencies, so we wanted something that was going to be, I'm not sure whether we call it statutory, but something that would, and that has just been finalized, and that's what is happening. In so much that the committee had these challenges with NCOP, and even those challenges have been sorted out. So we're going to start now calling SANEC and the DACs and the PACs, whatever you call them, to come and explain here. And we're not going to go through the provinces. We're just going to go directly to them. But if you want to add something, you can add. But I thought that we needed to explain that part. Okay, Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I must just say that I'm also very happy with the improvements that we are seeing taking place. I think things are going well at national level, but we still have some major problems at provincial level. Not so easy for you to reach, but I think we need to do something about it. For example, there was something very disturbing on the news last night. I don't know if you saw the same program that I did, with the MEC, and I think it was for Limpopo, saying there is no material available for immunizations, there's no stock. And then the national minister says there's plenty of stock. So what is happening? And why are children's health and their lives being compromised by not being able to get the inoculations that they need? There was an excuse that it might have been lack of funding earlier on. But, yeah, perhaps you can shed some light on that. But I think these are the problems that one has at a local level or provincial level that we really need to have a look at. And, of course, you know, the child mortality rate is something that concerns us. I'm not sure that we're going to be reaching the standards that are required from us internationally. But, yeah, well, we need to see what we can do about that. Maternal mortality rate. Yeah, we say that we are not up to scratch in that sense. We know that the minister launched the Karma program in April 2012. Are you actually able to reach out to the rural areas? Because I think this is where some of the big problems occur, that deliveries can't be improved or increased. Hospital or clinic deliveries, and I see that you've got this here, that you want to have an increase in the proportion of deliveries. Now, how is that going to happen? Is this going to be a matter of more staff? Because I do know that staffing is a problem. Is it also the quality of the training, so that where you do have staff, you've got people who are responsive and caring, and not just, wait. I heard the other day, again, of a story where somebody was told, just to wait, your baby's not due. But that baby was due, and there were complications. I won't go into that. So, yeah, that is really something. How are we going to get this work ethic improved, and how are we going to increase the number of services so people can get to the places where they need to reach for their help? Yeah, those MDGs, that's actually what I was talking about. Are we going to reach our MDG goals? Yes, and then circumcisions. The question I was going to ask before our Honourable Chair intervened was, how are you going to match up traditional practices with the medical and your Department of Health initiatives? Are people going to be prepared to accept? Not everybody is lucky to have a father who is a doctor, but there are plenty of other young people who are being butchered. I must just tell you, I was very privileged to participate in the circumcision of my grandson in England. He's Jewish, his father was Jewish, my daughter's Christian, but never mind, they did the circumcision. It was absolutely beautiful to see how they do it with that ring. A beautiful job, and so quick and so efficient. And I just think to myself, why can't we do this for more people so that you don't have the problems, that you can bring the advances in medical technology to everybody? Yes, so circumcisions, yeah, we want to improve that and we want to increase it for the sake of their people, for their own health, but we also need to know that it's going to help with the AIDS pandemic. Then there was a problem with distribution of condoms, and apparently there was a shortage of latex and there was just not enough of this around. Are you able to make sure that the condoms are of a good quality and that they are distributed evenly and equally? Has that problem been ironed out? Let me see what else. I've got all these things all over the place. Yes, I also second the page numbers. It would help. Let me leave it at that, and I'll perhaps have a second bite. Thank you.
Thank you. That Hilda, you're going to come on, that Hilda. You will answer the difference, but can I talk on my experience and what we are trying to do? I think the very staunch people about traditional circumcision is they're from the Eastern Cape mainly, and partly from the Western Cape. And there are people that are called traditional surgeons. Unfortunately, they don't go through the same training. But what people have done, not to belittle the tradition. The only thing that was said was use those who are medically trained to teach those who are doing circumcision so that it is dynamic. Originally, at the beginning, they refused even ourselves, because that's what we went through as medical people ourselves. We went through the same thing. But when we said we're going to help them to do it, they refused at the beginning. But ultimately, they've agreed that we can help them. And as a result, now even the traditional circumcision, if you look at it closely, it's actually male medical circumcision, but it's done in the bush. The difference is that it's where it's done. I think they don't want to move away from circumcising them at that 18 years and above, unlike the Jewish one, which is done at a very young age. And there are reasons. They don't tie it up with circumcision only. They tie it up with a change from boyhood to manhood. So you're changing your culture. That's why they want to leave it at that age. Now, the tarak clamp or that becomes very problematic in the elderly one for some reasons that I can explain outside of this meeting why it becomes problematic. But we can give that explanation. But for kids, it's quite well. But for adults, it becomes a problem. In fact, one of the reasons that goes with that is that's why they don't want sexually active females to go to a traditional circumcision school. It's on the same basis, on the same understanding. That's why they would allow the young girls who don't even have breasts to go and cook for them, but not the elderly, not those who are sexually active. They don't want them. They call it a tradition, but it has got a medical reason. I'm not going to go further than that. Okay, in that elderly.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also thank the presentation. You see, you're talking about accelerating delivery of health infrastructure. I live in Mafeking, like I told earlier on. I have received complaint about the Victoria Hospital. I'm not going to elaborate on that before I personally go there and check. What I'll need from you, Dr. Blay, is your contact details so that when I'm through. So it is not the only hospital. Yeah. The second issue that I want to raise here is about the annual performance plan itself. You know, I thought, do you have a formula that you use as different departments? Because I thought that talking to a performance plan, you will have strategic objectives, indicators, targets, old and new strategic objectives. Now, you have here, I just wanted to know if you've got a formula. Yes, whatever. Format or formula. Because that I don't see here. And I thought I understood better, Doc, what it means. But this is what I don't find. Probably I will try to limit my questions so that others can have chance to bite. Two or three. This will be my... You've got six sub-programs. Yes, if I have them here. And they all have allocations for the... Yes, and to me it makes things easy for me. Thanks for that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mzala.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation from the department. But I will ask the department, how will the department embark on strengthening the national TB control program? And also, how will the department go about involving the community in the TB DOTS program? Lastly, can the department explain more on the results from the National Committee on Confidential Inquiries into maternal deaths reflects that institutional or health facility-based MMR has decreased, which is very good, from 180 per 100,000 live beds in 2010 to 160 per 100,000 live beds. How are you going to go about? Can you explain more? Thank you.
Thanks, Mzala. I might be here the last one.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much, Department. It seems that there is somehow a break of communication between national and provincial. Yes, there is a MINMEC, but that's it. Things go wrong somewhere between the lines. 2015, I think, is it 2015 or 2014, the year when the MDGs will be evaluated? 15, how far do you think South Africa will be, particularly around the health one, particularly around mothers? I will ask the question that some other people have asked on maternal mortality. There was a confidential report that the Honorable Member spoke about. There was some report that was given in May last year when KAMA was introduced. And if you also can tell us, how far has the department gone as far as KAMA is concerned? Because before next month, I'm sure the department will have to write the report. And mothers are still dying. NHI districts, what's the progress? Number one. Number two, the minister informed us that NHI will be kicking in those districts in April. And then, of course, repeated the numbers that you told us. Has it kicked in? If there are those who have just seen how it's playing around, how it's jiving, where it has been kicked. The old problem of TB. South Africa is an epicenter of TB that we cannot run away. It's an epicenter. We've got the mines, as the chair did reiterate on that one. We've got the rural areas, farms and ordinary rural areas. We further have got informal settlements. When we're talking around TB, do we talk TB within the cities or areas surrounding the cities, or do we go right out into the periphery? Because we can manage it in the center, but what about the periphery? Are we about to get there? Have we begun to get there? Will we get there? The much as we are saying that clinics, the reality is people will always and people want to go to the hospital because of the times we are coming from. Is there a possibility somewhere in the remote future, just to have gateways in these big hospitals? For instance, in KwaZulu-Natal, there is a hospital known as Mshieni. It has got a gateway, and it has really eased
the work of the hospital, because the clinic is dealing with those people and referring them appropriately. So maybe if nationally we could have gateways, that would somehow release the burden, because people are always happy from the gateways, clinics. My colleague has spoken about clinics, but there is such disparity between government clinics and municipal clinics. When then is there be negotiations that health clinics sort of do the same work, regardless of whether they were municipal, but if they can all be absorbed within the health system and not as whatever they are. Do you have any vacancies? If they are you intending to fill them in the near future or in the late future? Because there's always a problem with HR system. Thank you. For now.
Okay, thank you, Mabel. We'll be very fair to you. You reorganize the questions and who's going to answer. So we'll have a 10-minute break for tea, for snacks, a comfort break mainly because people have been having. So we'll have a 10-minute. Last year, deliberately, I talked about in the budget speech. I talked about rural health. It was deliberate because I wanted to know how do we stop this exodus. Because if I'm sitting in Qingqo and I want to have a CT scan, I'll go and stay in Joburg and stay in the Shakespeare because I know the CT scan is going to be quicker for me to get at Chris Barra because where I stay, there's nothing. So I'll get a shack there and flog that place. So to decentralize, we need to have some of the things. We need to have good rural health because there are no doctors. That's why I think that I'll get a doctor. In fact, even in my mind, I think that when I go to a health facility, I must need a doctor. It's not only a nurse, there must be a doctor. So I'll relocate to Joburg and build a shack because there are no services down there. How are we handling that type of situation? Let's go and have tea, and 10 minutes later we come back and continue, and then you can answer the question.
I was asking I hope you will help me.